This is Larry Jordan, the host of the Digital Production Buzz. The following interview is an excerpt from a recent program. To hear the entire program, visit digitalproductionbuzz.com. In his current role as the Director of Technology at Keycode Media, Michael Comas consults on the latest in technology and best practices into digital media and communication. And even better, he has this wonderful love of workflow, codecs, and process. Hello, Michael. Welcome back.
Hello, Mr. Jordan. Good to hear your voice again.
It is. We've been waiting way too long to talk to you. I'm glad to have you back again.
Thank you.
This evening, we're taking a look back at the first half of the year and then thinking about what's coming. So as you look back over the first half, what stands out as highlights or as disappointments?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. There's a couple of things that have been very good, especially on the creative editorial front. And one of them, you and I actually talked about at NAB, and that's the advent of the external GPU, the eGPU, the ability for applications on your computer to take advantage of an external graphics card to make renders go faster, to make your outputs go faster, and the fact that Apple introduced the ability to do this in a sanctioned way has opened up a lot of possibilities for creative users.
That's true, but I had a chance to work with the Blackmagic eGPU, and it really is targeted at a specific device, which is the 15-inch MacBook laptop, as opposed to just sort of general purpose. Are we seeing eGPUs becoming too hardware-specific?
I don't think that's the case. I think it's actually the other way around. I think it's the fact that, you know, eGPUs haven't been out in the wild long enough for creative applications to actually sit up and take notice. And in typical, you know, Apple fashion, here's something that's cool and it's released and everyone has to play catch up. So I think now we're going to be seeing Adobe and Apple and other creative applications out there start to use external devices like eGPUs. They currently are.
I think that's a good point. Premiere doesn't take advantage of the eGPU at all, and Final Cut takes advantage of it only in a very limited fashion. So that's a good point. I think also with IBC coming up, we're going to hear a lot more noise about eGPUs as well. So what else strikes your fancy as you take a look back?
Well, as Ned mentioned, and I think Philip mentioned as well, the fact that Resolve is now out. I think Resolve is certainly making a play as a, I don't want to say a serious contender in the world of creative editorial and whatnot, but I think for the small work groups, I think for the one-person bands, I think Resolve is really gaining a lot of traction, and I've been pleasantly surprised with the multitude of betas that 15 had. As Philip mentioned, I don't think it's quite ready for prime-time editorial, and when I mean prime-time, I mean, you know, big-budget feature film, television, et cetera, but I think it's another tool in your arsenal that you should know, and I think it's done made great strides over the past 6 or 7 months.
Well, you've talked about things that are highlights, DaVinci Resolve and eGPUs. What about disappointments?
Yeah, one thing that's been in my craw all year is that I had really hoped after NAB last year we would see more development of cognitive services or AI as more of a broad term, to have those tools more available to the end user, the creative. And right now we have things like Transcriptive, which will allow you to get your footage transcribed. That's great, but in terms of sentiment identification, you know, happy, sad, angry, being able to recognize faces, I had really hoped there would be some connective glue, some connective tissue to bring the power of that to the editor. And I haven't seen a lot of tools that are doing that and not any tools that are affordable. And so that's kind of a bummer.
Well, one you might want to check into is Axel Media Asset Manager. They have a module that plugs into Axel, which connects AI image recognition with their media asset management system and can start to do what you're talking about. And that's priced at the lower end of the media asset management spectrum. And I also think that the whole idea of using AI to take a look at images is a lot harder to do than it is to say.
I'm not sure that's the case. I hate to disagree with you, Larry. I mean, Axel, first and foremost, Axel's great, but it still relies on there being a hefty amount of middleware. You're still using an asset management system to connect that. If you've worked with Premier, you know that Premier has a panel, which is HTML5. So being able to connect that to, let's say, Microsoft or AWS or any of those cognitive services, the glue is right there. I can only assume that there doesn't seem to be an ROI model for bringing that to the end user as opposed to saying we're going to develop it for a facility.
Well, that leads us into the next topic for discussion, which is what should we expect the next 6 months? Do you think we're going to see more machine learning take center stage in the second half of the year?
I would like to think so. I think, unfortunately, the broadband speeds that we have here in the U.S. isn't, although it's increased over last year, it still isn't as fast as it could be, and I think that's still a hindrance. That being said, the whole the cloud methodology is different budgets, and I don't want to go on a complete tangent, but we've always operated on a CapEx kind of methodology, which is you buy new gear, you use new gear. When it's old, after 3 or 5 years, you buy new gear. And when we start looking into cloud methodologies and using cloud AI and then maybe Avid and then maybe Adobe, we start looking into OpEx, right? We're looking for the monthly payments. And I think that is causing the post industry and production industry to kind of pivot and start saying, well, I have to plan my money differently. I have to spend my money differently. And I think that's caused a few hiccups for a lot of these reoccurring costs.
You know, just speaking from my personal experience, I think that's absolutely true, is that once a project is done, I don't want to lose access to my data, but I also don't have any money left to spend. To have to continually pay money for storage or pay money to access the data, that requires a whole different way of thinking.
And I think, especially for the little microcosm here that is Hollywood, is that that changes the complete paradigm because things are based on CapEx expenditures. So that really changes things. And I think the side effect of that is we now see creative tools like Avid and Adobe almost completely moving to that kind of model, which means their software updates come differently. So instead of, you know, this big rush to hit a release by the end of the quarter or to meet the announcements that sales announced but engineering didn't agree to, we're now getting, you know, incremental updates that allows them to kind of fix things. And I think we're going to see over the second half of the year that Adobe and Avid are going to slow down a little bit in terms of new features and shock and awe and get to fixing some of the things that maybe weren't completed or just aren't functioning well.
And the other challenge we've got is that subscriptions make a lot of sense from the developer point of view, but as you point out, may not make complete sense from the end user point of view. But before we move further than that, one thing that caught me was an email that you guys sent out yesterday, which is this upcoming Adobe Premiere workflow event that Keycode Media is doing with SNS. What are you showcasing here in terms of collaboration?
Well, that's going to be a great event online. SNS is shared storage, and it works with Avid, Adobe, Final Cut, everything out there. But they've got some automation in the background. They have Share Browser, which is their kind of my first asset management system. And attached to Share Browser is something called Slingshot, and Slingshot is automation in the background. And one of the things we'll be showing is how you can use cognitive services in the cloud to actually index and tag your data, all while sharing projects, BIMs, within Premiere. So not only can you collaborate on projects, but you also can send it to the cloud for analysis.
Very cool. For people that want more information, where can they go on the web?
Two different places. You can go to keycodemedia.com. You can also go to michaelcommis.com.
And the Michael Commis himself is the voice you're listening to. By the way, Michael, next week we're going to have Jonathan Amayo of Keycode Media on the show talking about training. So you guys are making a big deal of noise, and I'm glad to have you with us.
You're going to love it. Thank you, Larry.
You take care, Michael. We'll talk to you soon.